We say good morning to everybody as we extend a really warm welcome on this kind of cold, dank kind of day while winter feels as though it's well on its way. But we've got a warm place to gather and to worship, and we really extend a warm welcome to everybody for this service of worship here at the steeple. It's Remembrance Sunday, and today we will, with words and with music, with images and with silence, honour those who've made the ultimate sacrifice in giving their lives in times of war to fight so that others could have freedom, peace, and just society. In our service, we'll seek the wisdom of God's word as we acknowledge the agony and the loss and the destruction of war for generations past, but also in our current world for both civilians and for military people. So we now approach God Almighty, who is sovereign over all of human history, into which he imparts his perfect love and his mercy and his forgiveness and his grace and the opportunity for newness of life. And as we do that, we pray together in the words that we've been taught by the Prince of Peace, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. So I invite you to join, and together we will say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. The music will lead us in the great hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God my Father. There's no shadow of turning with Thee as we acknowledge God's unchanging faithfulness to us through all times. Please stand if that helps your worship. Please remain seated if you prefer. We can hum along as the music leads us in this hymn. We thank Rachel Tote, who has recorded the melody of the song Faithful One, which we will play as on the screen we see images of war over the past 100 years to the current day. We hope these images will hold and mark our sorrow for our world, for the loss of life and liberty that war brings to those who suffer it. At the same time, we hope these images will help us recognize that even in these darkest of times, our God is faithful, he's unchanging, and he is our rock. Please see images of Coventry Cathedral, who from devastation of war have led a now global process for reconciliation and peace. And please see images of those who serve, a sign that God continues to give his goodness into the most difficult of times through the compassion of those who continue to love and give of themselves in war-torn places. Before the slides are shown, with great reverence today, and aware of the pain of memory of two world wars and the suffering of those who have endured war since and now, we say together, as we do in our services at the steeple, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Thank you to Helen Beat for this next part of our service. It's lovely to see you here, Helen. She's sharing her research into the life and the death of Sergeant John MacDonald, who I believe was a relative. He's one of the people named on our own steeple war memorial. So we look forward to hearing Helen present her findings, and we thank Piers Bowser for his help in compiling this research and in recording what Helen has to tell us. Thank you.
Sergeant John Mann MacDonald, 1st 4th Black Watch, DCM. He was one of two brothers who were lost in World War I. This was not an unusual occurrence, as probably in the majority of families in this area at that time were of at least 6 children. John MacDonald, known in the family as Jock, and his younger brother David both died. Their oldest brother was in the regular army. and a younger brother also served. The youngest was just too young, but served for over 6 years during and after the Second World War. There are several items in the Dundee Courier about Jock. The first item is the information that he had been awarded the DCM. The copy of the citation in London Gazette announcing his award for the ability, courage and dash displayed in leading his section in the attack near Neuve Chapelle in 1915, March the 10th. His parents received the news of his award. Then a week later, they received the news that he had died from heart failure in a dugout in the trench. They received letters from Major Tosh, the CO, Major Rogers, the chief medical officer, and their son, David, who had met up with his brother the night before his death. The verdict was heart failure. The reports in the Courier also state that, like many another young man, he was in Canada when war was declared, and along with his brother-in-law, unnamed in the paper, but I think Hugh Nesbitt, they returned to rejoin the Black Watch. Pre-war, Jock had been a pattern maker and was 25 years old.
Thank you. We continue with a prayer based on Psalm 130. The words will be on the screen, and we hope to join together in this as a responsive prayer. So I will read the two lines in white writing, and if we could all join together with the statement, "My hope is in God's word." So we read from Psalm 130. Out of the depths I have called to you, Lord. Let your ears be open to my voice. My hope is in God's word. If you recorded all our sins, who could come before you? My hope is in God's word. There is forgiveness with you, therefore you shall be feared. My hope is in God's word. My soul is longing for the Lord, more than those who watch for daybreak. My hope is in God's word. O Israel, wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. My hope is in God's word. Father, we commend to your faithful love those who are crying from the depths. Help them to watch and pray through their time of darkness, in sure hope of the dawn of your forgiveness and redemption. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
In our collective remembrance this morning, as we occasion this here in 2020, so many years later, ask you to respond, "We will remember them." They shall not grow old as they that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. go home, tell them of us and say, for your tomorrow, we gave our today. Now you can be seated again. We're going to sing, or in our present situation, we're going to hum the beautiful melody, Banks and Braes, to this poignant hymn, We Cannot Measure How You Heal or Answer Every Sufferer's Prayer. Let's worship God.
This morning's reading comes from Lamentations chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. How deserted lies the city, once so full of people. How like a widow is she, who was once great among the nations. She who was queen among the provinces has now become a slave. Bitterly she weeps at night, tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, there is no one to comfort her. All her friends have betrayed her. They have become her enemies. After affliction and harsh labour, Judah has gone into exile. She dwells among the nations. She finds no resting place. All who pursue her have overtaken her. In the midst of her distress, the roads to Zion mourn, for no one comes to her appointed festivals. All her gateways are desolate. Her priests groan. Her young women grieve, and she is in bitter anguish. Her foes have become her masters. Her enemies are at ease. The Lord has brought her grief because of her many sins. Her children have gone into exile, captive before the foe. Thanks be to God for these words.
Well, you know one of the reasons why you came to church this morning, Lewis. You were coming anyway, but you also came to read the word, and thank you for that. I'm wondering why others of you came this morning. It's Remembrance Sunday, so I suppose there was an added purpose in coming today. But what exactly did you come here to the Steeple Church to hear today? Now, please don't blame me for choosing on this day the theme of lament. Because today we read in the Old Testament the book of Lamentations, which immediately follows from the book of Jeremiah. It's a theme, you know, that we don't hear of often in our world today. And so we turn to the Old Testament prophet who warns the people that destruction was coming if they didn't repent and turn to God. The book of Jeremiah is really a warning of the impending destruction of Jerusalem. And then the book that comes after it, what we read today, Lamentations, is a book of mourning that looks back on the tragedy described by Jeremiah. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet because of the way in which he watched and wept at the terrible destruction of all around him, of God's temple and the city of David. The book of Lamentations continues that narrative. Remember, in the book of Jeremiah, for 51 chapters, we have the prophet predicting Jerusalem's downfall. And then in chapter 52, he records its devastation. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, burnt the glorious temple together with the king's palaces and all the houses of the city. The people trapped in Jerusalem endured appalling conditions during this time. The majority of them either died then or when the siege was finally broken. And as the walls of the city were breached, Babylonian soldiers broke through and massacred the people. Nebuchadnezzar killed Israel's princes. He blinded the king with a hot poker and took away the beautiful pots and pans and bronze vessels used in the temple service. So, no surprise this morning that we read Lamentations beginning with this bitter lament. I love the way you say bitter. How lonely sits the city that was full of people. She has become like a widow that was once great among the nations. She who was a princess across the provinces, but has now become a forced laborer. The Song of Sorrow, or the Lament, as we call it, is about the fatal fall of Jerusalem. And 586 BC was one of the darkest and the most savage years in the history of God's people and of Jerusalem. Now, if we look at human history, we can go beyond the suffering of the Jewish people, which I could speak a lot more about today, but I'd rather point to another group of people who also suffered terribly. African people have been victims of appalling racial crimes over human history. And we should not forget that the roots of the current Black Lives Matter campaign lie way back, especially in the 18th century, when 200 million Africans had become victims of the slave trade. Remember, the slave trade from which our nation has profited. And one of the ways that African slaves in America struggled to keep their identity, coped with life, survived. I was just chatting with Alan before the service about the whole need to talk about the language of survival and coping. And one of their coping mechanisms was through creating spiritual songs, what we call Negro spirituals. I'm thinking of Moon River and Steal Away and go down, Moses, and wade in the water. Swing low, sweet chariot, and there's a balm in Gilead. In that last song, Gilead was a place that had known great grief, and the prophet Jeremiah wrote a poem hoping for some healing for the grief of his people. In the same way the African slaves turned to song and poetry, we too can turn to song and poetry for survival in these days. Take time to think of the songs and the poems that do it for you, that give you consolation. Let the healing balm of hope be the thing that brings you alongside those who are new to grief today, and also to those who have been living with grief for a long time. Remember that in all these things, God is with us. For us here in Scotland, the shrill notes of the bagpipes, as well as the bugle, become haunting symbols of what we owe to all those who unselfishly gave their lives for us, who gave up their lives and futures. And today is a time to mourn. As the well-known passage in Ecclesiastes says, that there's a time and purpose for everything, a season for every activity under heaven. And that includes weeping and mourning as much as it does laughing and dancing. Lament needs to take place. Lament needs to run its course. Lament has its place in our lives in this world. Lament is not about complaining. It's not about being melancholy. Lament in the Bible actually engages with God over pain and trouble. And the Psalms, the 150 Psalms, are the hymn book. They were the hymn book and the prayer book of ancient Israel. And when you look at them, you find that as many as 40% of them are all about lament. Think about that. 40% of the Psalms about mourning. That doesn't really correlate, does it, with the kind of type of modern worship song where less than 10% could be said to be about lament. In the face of darkness, we need to learn to mourn, to lament. And as we do that, strangely enough, the sun comes up. Strangely enough, one of the most beautiful and uplifting passages in the whole of the Bible was written just after this terrible time of unbearable tragedy. In the very middle of the Book of Lamentations, which is a collection of 5 poems, you can find these words written. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. Isn't that beautiful? We're not alone in finding hope and strength in God in days of enormous suffering. For God promises that good times lie ahead. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The hymn we sung this morning by Thomas Chisholm says that there's no shadow of turning with God, because he never changes. His compassions never fail. And every morning, he brings new mercies. God never fails, and we can trust him. Each day, Two reasons for this. One is that he's consistent. God is consistent. He won't love us today and forget us tomorrow. You know, one of the trials that I think many teenagers go through in their years of growing up is calls by so-called friends who want their company one day and then pull away from them the next. You've had that happen to you, haven't you? And whether people in that situation are being malicious or unstable, I don't know, but they're not to be relied on. God is never like that. That's the point. God gave us Jesus. God reaches out to us and extends his arm to us through Jesus Christ, of whom the writer to the Hebrews describes as the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, God, in his love and his yearning for us, is consistent and faithful. And the second reason we've already spoken about today, the second reason we can trust him is that God is good. God's store of good things is unlimited, and we can trust him for that. So I want to close by asking you a question. Does anything make you cry? Remember how it says in the Psalms that a broken heart and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Does anything make you cry? What makes you either weep or mourn? You see, whatever it is probably says a lot about you. But what causes you tears? What burdens you today? I think of the founder of the International Organization of World Vision, Bob Pierce, who prayed, Lord, let my heart be broken with the things that break the heart of God. Will you do that? Lord, let our hearts be broken with the things that break yours. Let us be burdened with the burdens that you carry. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us all pray. Lord, on this day, we greet you and we call to you as the God of all comfort. And we call you to hear our prayers for all those who are grieving, for all who have experienced loss of loved ones across the world, particularly in the occasion of war and strife and terrorist activity and bringing security to dangerous parts of the world. Today, Lord, we ask for all who are facing illness, not only in our congregation, but in our city, in our country, from the coronavirus, from other disease, Lord. We pray for all those who are living with hidden pressures, bearing them down. We pray for all those who find themselves alone, isolated. Hold us, Lord, all within the circle of your love. Bring comfort and hope. O God, you are familiar with lamenting and mourning. Your own heart is the first to break in the face of tragedy and loss and oppression and distress. And so we cry to you, Lord, in our lament today. Be with us when we experience dark moments of grief and pain and illness and failure. Be with us, Lord, when we travel through those wilderness places of our lives where we just feel lost, where insecurity, loneliness, and frustration become familiar friends, and when we become overcome by busyness. Lord, be with us when we struggle to move on towards greater growth and find it difficult to let go of the past. Be our help. Be our guide through Jesus. Lord, you are the God of the journey. And when the road of life seems too long and tedious, when the dying and rising gets to be too much for us, we seek you as the way, the truth, and the life, the way to wholeness, the truth and the justice of the world. Lord, be a pillar of fire by night and a comforting cloud to us by day, so that we can not only see the way, but be confident of your gracious presence as our strength and our hope in Jesus. Amen. Sometimes we sing, sometimes we sing silently into our masks, but now I want you to hear a song. And we're going to include more hymns recorded like this so that we have a different experience in our worship today. Today we're having a song by Graham Kendrick, "O Lord, the Clouds Are Gathering."
Gathering, the fire of judgment burns. How we have fallen, O Lord. You stand appalled to see your laws of love so scorned and life so broken. Have mercy, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Restore us, Lord. Revive your church again. Let justice flow like rivers, and righteousness like a never failing stream. Oh Lord, over the nations now, where is the dove of peace? The wings are broken. Rivers and righteousness like a never-failing stream. Your glorious cross shall tower triumphant in this land. Evil confounding through the fire, your suffering church display the glories of the Christ. Praise as resounding. Have mercy, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Restore us, Lord. Revive your church again. Let justice flow.
And now a blessing.
Brush your teeth in less than 10 now seconds the... with this revelation.
Not that blessing, which you already know about. I hope you do. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen. And we bless the world, saying, to Christ be praise, to the cosmos hope, to the city peace, to the church courage.